It's that time in Spain where we listen to a couple of excerpts from Blevins Franks, and it's Bill Blevins and Chris McCann today. There's only a few days left for people to submit this year's income tax return in Spain, and hopefully our listeners are all sorted by now. But it's worth reminding people who needs to submit a return and discuss how they could reduce their tax bill next year. So good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Howard. How are you? I hope you're well.
Yeah, I'm very busy, which is good. But before we get on to the subject, Bill, what news have you wanted to highlight this week?
I think everyone's aware that the G7 meeting took place in Cornwall and that the world's senior leaders were all present. It seemed to be overly dominated by the spat that took place between Boris Johnson and Emmanuel Macron, essentially over chilled meats and, sorry, I didn't mean to laugh, but sausages. I mean, the UK have asked the European Union to suspend an imminent ban. It comes into place under the protocol that covers the Northern Ireland part of our treaty with the EU on the sale of British sausages. Lord Frost, who's the Brexit minister, has been saying quite adamantly he does not really understand how the EU cannot be a more pragmatic and practical proposition on this issue, because he can hardly see sausages being sold out of Northern Ireland to France, even into the southern part of Ireland. But it looks like it's going on. There appears to be a logjam on this, but Boris has said that he's going to impose a unilateral change to the treaty by ignoring it. And I'm afraid that will lead, I'm afraid, to more recriminations from the EU, probably some sort of trade war. Let's hope not, but that looks like it's on the cards. The one thing that I've been talking about and banging on about for the last few weeks when we've spoken, Howard, is inflation. UK inflation last week accelerated beyond the May number, the April number, and hit 1.5% and hit 2.1%. That is a very substantial percentage increase. The supply chain logjams are creating huge price increases over a whole raft of subjects. And it's pretty clear that inflation is also on the rise in the United States, which will influence, I think, markets and the sort of investments that clients ought to be considering, so that they are a little more inflation-proofed, perhaps, than they might have been over the last 10 years, when inflation has been at pretty benign levels. I mean, the statement from the Federal Reserve last Wednesday, whatever was said, indicated more concern over the rise that's taking place in inflation generally. In Spain, I was pleased to see that Ursula von der Leyen went to Madrid on Wednesday. She was there to approve the so-called recovery plans, which Spain had submitted, seeking funding from the bloc over the coronavirus recovery requirements. I mean, von der Leyen said that it's an historic achievement, telling the European Parliament and announcing the immediate activation of a landmark €750 billion Euros recovery plan, which was drawn up nearly a year ago. Spain's share of that is €140 billion Euros. Half is being made as a direct payment, virtually a gift from the EU coffers. The other half is in loans, and it's going to be granted between 2021 and 2026. I'm pretty sure that the use of those funds will give Spain a very significant economic boost after the hard times they've suffered during the pandemic.
Yeah, interesting. Well, back to our tax subject now, Bill. How do people know if they're resident in Spain for tax purposes or not?
This is one of those thorny subjects that's often discussed, sometimes when I'm present at dinner parties amongst a group of people who don't altogether understand the complexity of the rules which determine whether you are a tax resident or not. I think everybody probably understands that if you are in Spain for more than 6 months of the year, and that doesn't have to be consecutive, it can be cumulative, you can go for 3 months at the early part of the year and 4 months in the latter part of the year, that breaches the six-month rule, and as a consequence, you de facto become a tax resident of Spain. There are, and most people don't really appreciate this, some other complexities. If Spain, for example, is your centre of economic interests, what does that mean? Well, it means that if you are in, let's say, in business and you make money outside of Spain, but within Spain, you make a greater sum of money by your economic activity then Spain becomes your residence for tax purposes because it has become your centre of economic interest. There's also another little catch called your centre of vital interest, and that is where you often have family members who may, by their attendance in Spain, breach the centre of vital interest requirement, and you become, again, a tax resident of Spain. It isn't as simple as people think, and it's often worth, once you've had your discussions at the dinner party, which have often been misplaced information, it's often worth talking to someone like Blevins Franks to make sure that you don't hit one of the minor points that can still qualify you as a tax resident, because the consequences of being a tax resident and not making your appropriate tax returns can invoke quite serious punishments and investigations, which can be, you know, in many cases, life-changing. So it's quite important to understand the rules in detail. In a short recording, an interview like this, we don't have the time to go into all of those details, but certainly the offices of Blevins Franks are there to assist you in your understanding.
Should people fear being tax resident in Spain?
No, I don't think they should. I think that when you compare, for example, for our UK listeners, the various tax breaks and benefits that can be achieved by a tax planning or a tax avoidance scheme within the UK, there are far greater opportunities within Spain for appropriate, legitimate, regulated tax planning. There, for example, if you compare the UK opportunity of investing funds into what's called an ISA, an individual savings account, you are limited as to the amount you might put into those arrangements, even though by concession, your profits, your gains, your income is tax-free. Of course, remember, if you have arrived in Spain as a resident and you've brought your ISA with you, of course, it's not tax-free in Spain. It's only tax-free in the UK. The Spanish don't and haven't approved tax freedom for UK products. But in Spain, there are a number of different structures that one can employ which are unlimited in the amount of investment you might make within them and unlimited in the virtually in the range of choices of investment that you might place within them, apart from the fact that those structures provide incredibly good tax-saving benefits. They also are a cost-saving exercise if you have a portfolio of investments that you tend to sell and to buy from time to time. And without having to the details, as it were, of an individual client, it's hard to know which of those structures might be appropriate. But once again, it's not a difficult proposition to contact Blevins Franks and discuss with them at outset what your circumstances are, so that they might help you understand how Spanish legislation might benefit you by offering a structure within which you hold your investments such that your tax payable and the profits that you make in terms of gains, and indeed in many cases the succession tax payable, is reduced to the lowest possible level within the law. And quite legitimately, it's just an exercise of expressing what you have and what you're trying to achieve to someone who understands the principles of tax planning. And I'm confident that for most people who come to Blevins Franks, there is a significant saving in tax beyond what they might otherwise have had, because most individuals don't really understand Spanish tax legislation in the depth with the depth of knowledge that Blevins Franks have.
Does everyone need to file an annual income tax return?
Well, the rules about declaration, again, I'm afraid, as with most tax legislation, are quite complex. There seems to be two principles behind, if you like, the complexity. I mean, first of all, the Spanish tax authorities want a Spanish tax resident to complete a Spanish tax return if he or she has got quite a significant amount of income. And secondly, you need to complete a Spanish tax return if you're entitled to any of the tax breaks or deductions that are available. You don't have to complete a Spanish tax return, even though you may be Spanish tax resident. If your income is from one source only, it's earned income, which includes pensions, and it's less than 22,000 euros. And tax has already been deducted at source. There seems no logical point in declaring that if you've already paid the tax due. That exemption doesn't apply to overseas pensions, since they don't suffer Spanish withholding tax. But of course, your pension may, it is taxable in Spain, may not have suffered withholding tax, but it's also covered under the double tax treaty. So if you have had tax deductions at source, and frankly, that shouldn't be the case. You should be declaring your pension in Spain and therefore sending a submission to the HMRC in the UK, which will mean that they will normally agree that you can be paid your pension gross, declare your pension in Spain, pay your taxes in Spain. But if you've paid tax on your pension in the UK by tax deduction at source, you can claim that tax paid under the double tax treaty once you've completed your tax return. And as I said at the outset, there is complexity in all of this. If you have income of both from investments and capital gains, there is also another threshold at which you are required to complete an income tax return. If you've got imputed rental income, if it's above €1,000, yes, you have to complete a Spanish tax return. The issue here is that there are these minor points which are often missed by individuals, especially when you're completing a form which is a technical language, if you like, which you don't entirely understand in depth. So I think, once again, it's important to ensure that at the end of June you have submitted your tax return correctly, and if you're in any doubt whatsoever that you may have missed some of the minor points that are not easily understood, then again, Blevins Franks would love to hear from you if you would like assistance in the completion of your tax return.
Many thanks, Bill. Turning to Chris McCann now. Chris, many British expatriates living in Spain continue to earn income in the UK. Do you find that many get confused over where they need to declare their income and pay tax?
Hi, Howard. Yeah, we speak to a lot of people, and this is something that many are confused about. In the main, they think that in relation to their UK income, they should continue to pay tax in the UK and not in Spain. In actual fact, in relation to most UK income, it's the case that you need to get to the position where you are paying tax on it only in Spain. I say get to the position because it's normally the case that in relation to most UK income, even though a person may have left the UK, their UK income will continue to be taxed at source in the UK if they have not changed their UK tax code. Further to the submission of your first Spanish tax return, it's important that you then provide HMRC with a Spanish tax residency certificate, which confirms that you've paid tax in Spain. HMRC will then assign you an NT tax code, which essentially means that any companies paying your UK income will then be instructed not to deduct tax from the income. In other words, you will begin to receive your UK income on a gross basis, and you will then simply include that gross income on all your future Spanish tax returns.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's look at some types of UK income, starting with UK pensions. Should expatriates declare their pension income in Spain and pay tax on it here?
Yes, if you are a Spanish tax resident, then your pension income will in most cases be liable to Spanish income tax. This includes all UK state pension income and private pension income, such as income from SIPs, SASs, small self-administered schemes, etc. I say most pension income because there is one exception, in that UK government service pensions remain liable only to UK tax and are not taxable in Spain at all. However, whilst being exempt, the amount does still need to be included in the tax calculation, which determines the tax due on other income which is taxable in Spain. And this is known as exemption with progression. I think it's worth noting that in relation to UK private pension income, there is a very common misunderstanding in relation to the 25% lump sum that can be taken. Whilst it would be tax-free if you were resident in the UK, if you take it as a resident of Spain, it will be fully taxable in Spain as normal income. Finally, in relation to private pensions, I think it's also worth noting that pre-Brexit, UK private pensions were exempt from wealth tax in Spain. However, post-Brexit, the fund values of UK private pensions are no longer exempt and will need to be included along with your other assets when calculating your liabilities to wealth tax.
And what about UK rental income?
Well, for anybody that owns and lets a property in the UK, the UK follows the general principle when it comes to taxing rental income. That is, the rental income is liable to tax in the country where the property is situated. So, irrespective of where you are resident for tax purposes, you will be liable to UK income tax on any UK rental income that you receive. You will need to report the UK rental income to the UK tax authorities and pay the relevant tax. If you are a Spanish resident, you must also declare the UK rental income in Spain, and the Spanish rules must be applied to calculate the tax due on the income. There is a double taxation agreement between the UK and Spain, meaning that you will not be taxed twice on the same income, and any UK income tax paid will be deducted from the Spanish tax liability. Where the UK tax is higher, no further tax will be due in Spain, and no refund will be made for the difference. However, if the Spanish tax liability exceeds the UK tax paid, you will owe further tax to the Spanish tax authorities.
What about ISAs and premium bonds? They're tax-free in the UK, but what about in Spain?
Well, this is relatively simple. Whilst ISAs are not liable to tax in the UK, they are fully taxable in Spain as savings. UK premium bond winnings are treated in the same way as non-Spanish lottery winnings and are fully taxable in Spain as general income.
So, there's not much you can do about tax on your employment income, but what about your investment income? Are there compliant opportunities in Spain to reduce your tax on your savings and investments? And if so, how much can you save?
Well, as I've said on many occasions, Spain is a relatively high tax country, but it is one of the best countries as regards legal and legitimate tax planning opportunities in relation to investments and pensions. As our clients have done for many years, if listeners take suitable advice in relation to legitimately minimising their exposures to tax in Spain, using legal and compliant structures, they can significantly reduce the tax they pay to very low levels, in many cases to single-digit rates. If listeners haven't yet had a discussion with somebody qualified to provide such advice, I would strongly recommend investing an hour or so of their time to learn more about what can be done to provide legal and legitimate protection from tax in Spain.
And how can people get in touch with you?
Well, people can listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com, where they will be able to find all of our local partners' contact details. They will be able to also complete a contact form on our website. And if they do, somebody will be in touch with them as soon as possible.
Many thanks, Chris. I look forward to our next conversation, whenever that will be. And I wish you and yours well.
Thank you, Howard. Much appreciated. Speak soon.